Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into Eye on Hollywood. I am your host, LeVar. You know, it has been a couple of weeks since I've had the pleasure of saying that one. We've been off for a little bit here, kind of enjoying our summer. We've been a little bit busy on our end. You know, I thought about doing like best of shows, but it would not match if I put something about Hugh Hefner just getting engaged and then you're listening to that show and then, well, you know how it goes, Blog Talk Radio Nation. But we are here, and we try to be here every Friday at this time to bring you the latest and everything that's going on in Hollywood. And there is so much, and normally when you go into a holiday weekend, either you got one or two things that are going to happen. Something's going to break on that Friday or on that Saturday to kind of like hide itself into the holiday weekend so that nobody can talk about it or remember it come Tuesday. Or things are going to be so quiet where we'll literally be grabbing for stories and then trying to report on something for you. Unfortunately, in this case, it's a little bit of both. With this week, I know a lot of you have seen out there things on Transformers, and I'll get to that. Actually, I'll start off the show with that. The Transformers movie opened up on Wednesday, brought in $37.3 million at the box office, and actually it had a lower opening than the last Transformers movie, just a slight off. But Hollywood Reporter is reporting up to so far, it has raked in $64.7 million. Now, a lot of people would say, hey, that's successful. Not quite yet. I mean, it's only been open for a couple of days. Some of the feedback I'm hearing from some of you all out there is that the movie's great, that this is the best one yet. And on the Hollywood end, a lot of people are saying that this is the last one in this trilogy. Of course, trilogy only meaning three. And I know actor Shia LaBeouf has been said in interviews that this is his last one. And I know also some of the things that are being said about Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, that she did a great job in place of Megan Fox. And that's been the topic of discussion this week on the front for him. And I know for Shia for Josh Duhamel, for Tyrese, they've been out on the interview rounds. And I haven't really seen too much of Rosie out there, but I know a lot of them said that, a couple of them said that they missed Megan, but that I think, you know, you've heard reports of how she regrets what happened between her and director Michael Bay. And I'll admit, I'm a Megan Fox fan, love seeing her in it. I'm looking forward to seeing what Rosie can do, because she's just as beautiful. So, and actually, this will mark, I think, the first time I've seen the trilogy. Actually, you know, I think I've seen all of the other, what was it, not The Hobbit, but Lord of the Rings. I think I saw all those in the movie theater. Plus, I've seen the last three Pirates of the Caribbean. I haven't seen the newer one. So I'm looking forward to Transformers, but I'm also looking forward to what you guys have to say about it. It took $195 million to make this movie. Think about that. $195 million. That's a lot of money just for some entertainment. So I know they're going to make it all on the back end, not only here, but overseas too, when it all opens. But that's, just think about that. What you can do with $195 million. So if you won the lottery, say you had like one of those lotteries out there, they're like $200, $300 million, you can make your own blockbuster summer movie, basically. Also opening up in theaters today, the Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts vehicle, Larry Crown, for romantic comedy. It's rated PG-13. Also opening up, something I know, you know, for the tweeners who really don't want to go see Cars and who have probably already seen Transformers on Wednesday with the money that you gave them. I know the young ladies probably will be interested going to see the Selena Gomez and Kay Cassidy movie Monte Carlo. That's rated PG. That is also out today in theaters. So Transformers isn't the only thing at the box office. You still got that. You still got Bad Teacher with Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, and you also have Cars 2. So there's plenty of things at the box office with a lot of things still to come as we kind of get into really now summer. I mean, when we reach July 4th, we know all the blockbuster sequels, everything else is going to be out. And then as we come toward the fall, a lot of the Oscar, quote-unquote Oscar-caliber films will be out, and the stuff that you'll start to hear about this time next year around Academy Awards time. So a lot of that stuff coming out at the movie theater. We'll talk about it more in Eye on Hollywood as we go along. And we want to kind of get into some of the other big news that's been trending and top and been some topic this week. For those of you who are fans of the NBC show The Voice, I know that they crowned a winner this week. That young man has been out and about. But NBC announced yesterday that Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, and CeeLo Green will be back along with Christina Aguilera for the second season of The Voice. I think that is due to come back. It's going to be in the post-Super Bowl slot, I believe. I think that's NBC that actually has it this year. We'll actually look more into that. But I think The Voice is going to be the post-Super Bowl slotted show. But did a lot of great things for NBC this year. And I know, you know, for some people who thought that Idol fell off, The Voice kind of bought something a little different. And an interesting note out of that, did you know that the judges on that show, and I'm going to exclude Christina Aguilera on this, but Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, and CeeLo Green were all making $75,000 an episode. Christina Aguilera, reportedly, the Hollywood Reporter is reporting that she made an estimated $225,000 an episode. $225,000 to just sit there and then just, but they're all coming back for the second season. So, also another TV show that's coming back, it was revealed on Thursday, the cast of Big Brother on CBS, which is debuting on Thursday, July 7th, I think it's the 13th installment by now. Eight new castmates, supposed to bring back two old ones. Now, no one knows who the old ones will be. They're nicknamed the Double Trouble, and they're supposed to change the way that the game is played for the eight brand new contestants. So for fans of Big Brother, that will be back here. I mean, what's a summer without Big Brother? I think it goes all the way from like July through like late August, almost to like September. It takes us up to the brand new TV season. So something to watch for every week. Last time I actually watched it, I admit I only watched like one season of it, and that was a couple of years ago. And it was pretty interesting, especially to see the Big Brother stuff that night. I was a big fan of Jordan, so yeah. But that will be back. And speaking of also TV news, James Spader is close to signing a deal to join The Office, to cast The Office as the CEO of Dunder Mifflin. So he's not going to be replacing Steve Carell on that point per se, but I guess Kathy Bates is currently the CEO on that show. But, of course, she also had another TV show called Harry's Law, which just got re-signed for a second season on NBC. So in order to kind of sign her out of there to get her more focused on Harry's Law, word is that they're bringing James Spader in. Now, they say the topic and discussions are still kind of fresh underway, so nothing is official yet. But that would be interesting. James Spader, as we all know, was last on ABC with Boston Legal. And did a great role in that. And he's always played that quirky type of character type of guy. So it'll really be fun to see how they do that. And it also, you know, with some other TV, I don't know if I was disappointed to hear this or not, but there's been a lot of word going around that when CBS brings back the season of 2.5 Men in the Fall, which I think will begin taping in August, that they are going to be killing off the character of Charlie Harper. Now, producer-director Chuck Lorre is said to want to find a way in which not to even bring back the idea that it's possible for him to come back, and they're thinking about killing off the character. Now, here's why I say that this will backfire. When you have a beloved figure on a show and you kill them off just for the sake of killing them off, I think unless the show has a great supporting cast or it was a supporting character, it would work. When it's a main character, I don't think it works. And this is why I said killing off the Charlie Harper character is going to be bad for Two and a Half Men. And if you look back in TV history of a character that's been killed, you look back at MASH when McLean Stevenson's character was killed off, Colonel Henry Blank, it survived because the main cast was still intact. You could bring in someone as Colonel, and it worked because they could play off of that. You know, at that time, you had Alan Alda, and you had, you know, a great supporting cast, so it worked. You could kill off that character. It was war. I remember in the 80s, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you is going to remember, too, that there was a show called The Hogan Family, starred Valerie Harper. And it got a lot of semi-decent reviews season one, I think season one, season two, and she left in a contract dispute. So they killed off her character and bought in Sandy Duncan. And it just from there, it just didn't really work, and it kind of like just went downhill. And I think it lasted another season before it got cut. But I know what they're trying to do, and I know that they have Two and a Half Men. They have syndicated rights that they have to fill because of the syndication deal and so many episodes and this and that. But I just think it's a bad idea. I would almost rather you write it off gracefully as Charlie going away to rehab. I'd rather he go away to rehab and somebody else, or he loses the house some weird way and somebody buys it and they keep him there, or something else. I really hope, Chuck Lorre, that you did not make a death scene where his car plunges off a cliff. I don't know how you can really make that funny in a comedy, especially when we all know it kind of went down. So I don't think I'll watch it. After now, knowing that he's not going to be on it, that was kind of one of the reasons that made the show funny. And then there's nothing against the supporting cast, but, I mean, he was the show. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be watching that anymore. I'll just watch it on that syndication. Well, I'll be catching the new season. So some other news here. Joe Rogan returning to the Fear Factor. I think we reported on this a couple of weeks ago, that NBC is bringing back the Fear Factor in the fall. And Joe Rogan, at that time, it was up in the air on whether he was going to be able to do it. And they have now signed him, according to TV Guide. And they will bring back and reboot Fear Factor for 8 episodes, 2 of which will be 2-hour specials. So if you like the whole thing of somebody eating bugs or putting their hand down in a whole spider's pit, Fear Factor is on its way back to TV, so you don't have to worry about that. Some kind of some sad news this week. After Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who is the star of The Tudors, was rushed back to a hospital this week on Tuesday after swallowing pills, according to the British paper The Sun. He had just served about a month in rehab for addiction to alcohol, and it's such a downturn for someone who once was a very promising actor. If you remember a while back when there was a movie on CBS about the life of Elvis Presley, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers played it, got a lot of rave reviews. I think even he got some Golden Globe nominations from that one, but kind of his career kind of went downhill, and he's been battling, like I said, drug and alcohol, and on Tuesday, unfortunately, according to the British paper, The Sun, tried to commit suicide, but we hope that he's able to turn things around and that whatever this is reporting was kind of false. So best of luck to him. In some couples news this week, America Ferrera, actress America Ferrera, married her a long time ago, Ryan Piers Williams, on Monday. Kind of was a surprise, really wasn't released until midweek, but of course, America Ferrera, best known for movie Sisterhood, Traveling Pants, and also Real Women Have Curves and Ugly Betty, and happy to see her happy. Also in couples news, Grey's Anatomy star Tara Ramirez is engaged to her longtime fiance, Ryan Diebold, and of course, first marriage for both. And sad news, actually, David Duchovny and his wife, Taya Leone, are separated again. They were married in 97. They were separated in 08, tried to get back together. And, of course, if you recall, David had some issues with sex addiction. And, unfortunately, it does not look like the reunion for these two is going to work. And so their reps confirming that the couple has split. And then some baby news, which has already kind of happened, but the news about the baby's name hasn't. Actress Tia Mowry, who is known on the game, on BET, or she and her husband, Corey Hardrick, welcomed an 8-pound son on Tuesday, and they have named the child Cree Taylor Hardrick. And the pregnancy will be featured when her and her sister Tamara's reality show returns to the Style Network in August. So for those of you who haven't seen it, really cute baby. There's a lot of babies being born here. I know Pink had her baby. I know, and I'm not sure if we had a chance to talk about that, but pictures have also come out in the magazines about that. And, you know, like I said, a lot of celebrities having babies here. Kind of almost makes you think and makes you want to go out and have a kid. Or maybe not. Kind of some awkward news, though. Radar Online is reporting Salma Hayek's billionaire husband, Francois Henri Pinault, is the father of former supermodel Linda Evangelista's son. Now, that's per the New York Post as well. The rumors have circulated for several years that CEO of the Yves Saint Laurent and Gucci was the father of 4-year-old Augustin James, although it was never confirmed by Linda. And she stayed tight-lipped about the identity of the child's father until she went to a Manhattan magistrate's court to try and get support. He's the father of a 4-year-old daughter, Valentina, by his current wife, and of course we know Salma Hayek. So four years, we all know what kind of happened around that time. He also has 2 children by his first wife. And going back a year after the birth, she claimed that the father was a New York architect. And while her spokesman at her model management called the rumor untrue in 2007, yesterday was her 3rd or 4th trip to family court, but no agreement was reached in the dispute that now results in a full child support trial. She refused to comment as she left the court, and Pinault was not present as well, but his lawyer said that, quote, we had understood that it was to be a brief telephone conference to bring magistrate up to date on what the status was. Her lawyer had no comment, and so now it looks like, going to be a little ugly there, so I wonder what Salma Hayek actually thinks of that whole thing. She's probably, hey, he's got $1 billion, so you'll pay it in some way. Also an exclusive here, New York Yankee star Alex Rodriguez, according to Radar Online, it has been this huge poker ring lawsuit that's involved quite a few actors, namely Tobey Maguire, who's been in trouble with it. But now comes word that New York Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez played in that illegal high-stakes Hollywood poker ring that featured numerous A-list celebrities. And what's more, they learned that he played in another high-stakes No Limit Texas Hold'em game as recently as the last 2 months, which had a buy-in of $40,000. And the reason why this is bringing such a big issue is that the poker player who was in that, Adam Bilzerian, is one of several sources who confirmed the star that A-Rod's been playing big money poker. And he's writing a book called America, Land of the Free. And he witnessed A-Rod playing cards. But you know, it's really kind of a big no-no, but it deals with the politics and individual liberties, and this revelation could hurt him, who's already, you know, he's gotten his off-the-field things with other things, and I know at the time that Commissioner Bud Selig expressed a concern that he had been in poker clubs. And Star broke this story in which Tobey Maguire, Ben Affleck, Leo DiCaprio, and other stars have been playing in illegal poker games, and he's now being sued by the trustee for a hedge fund. Brad Ruderman, who was the head of that hedge fund, is in prison for running a Ponzi scheme and used the fund's money to pay gambling debts. So, you know, it kind of seems that this goes along. A lot of big names coming out of that one, and A-Rod is just the latest. You know, but I was like, at that point, I mean, if you're playing poker with somebody and you really, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. How much do you know about the person you're actually playing poker with? But I don't know. It's kind of seems like something where these guys are getting caught up for what this guy has done, and they were just playing poker, what they normally do. And we all know Tobey Maguire, I think, has been in the World Series poker, has been trying to play and do a ton of other things. So we'll kind of find out where that goes. And looking at this one, is it really true? I'm looking at this one that I think today marks Pamela Anderson's 44th birthday. Now, it was still how old I am. I think I remember when she, the whole hoopla was made about her 30th and then about her, maybe her 27th. I remember she was in her 20s. Now, that's how old I am now. But holy cow, 44 years old. Time does go very, very quick. And in some news also this week, and you know, what a lot of people have been talking about singer and rapper Missy Elliott, she's opened up about her troubled past of poverty and childhood sexual abuse. And in her in VH1's latest Behind the Music documentary, which debuted on Wednesday, the accomplished rapper who celebrates her 40th birthday also today reveals that she grew up in a dismal state of poverty in Portsmouth, Virginia. And she says, you know, in quote, that she remembers having mice in the house, her father taking some newspaper and beating her because mice was running on her while she was asleep. And the mom also talks about how they didn't have certain things. And she also shares the shocking story of sexual abuse at the hands of a 16-year-old cousin when she was only 8. And she says, in quote, that each day he wanted me to come to the house after school. It became sexual, which for her at 8 years old, she had no clue that it was, but she knew something was wrong. And she says, quote, being molested, don't disappear. You remember it as if it was yesterday. The rapper also explains that the abuse took place over the course of a year, but that she never told anyone at the time. And she also talks about witnessing the abuse of her mother at the hands of her father. And she also talks about her recently revealed Graves' disease diagnosis, which, if you know, we all don't know the medical thing, but it's an incurable autoimmune disorder. And she's been keeping mum about it since 2008. But after 3 years of silence, she publicly disclosed that she was diagnosed with the thyroid disease after experiencing a frightening loss of muscle control and suffering several other debilitating hyperthyroid symptoms, including mood swings and hair loss. And she turned to radiation treatment, which has greatly improved her condition, but cannot cure her disease, of course. But she has said that she is still going to definitely be involved in the rap game, which is good because, you know, if there's anybody out there, it's one of its most smartest minds. And, you know, I would even say ahead of, you know, at the time, you know, we talk about how much of a visionary Lady Gaga is. Missy Elliott is that to rap. So definitely best of wishes to Missy as she kind of goes through that. I have not had a chance yet to see the special. I know VH1 will probably play it quite a few times because I think it was one of their higher rated ones in quite some time. So definitely, like I said, best of wishes for Missy Elliott. I was a little bit disturbed when I read a couple of articles and recently about the Octomom. And I try to stay away from a lot of stories in which, you know, I try and stay away as much from the Kim Kardashian stories and the Paris Hilton stories and the Octomom stories, because really, you know, the whole thing that's kind of happened here for her, I don't know, it's a little different. But this one was more disturbing. This is the only reason that I bring this up. And I don't know, allegedly, and like I said, I like to use a lot of this, but the Daily Mail over in London said that she did a recent interview in which she talks about her kids, and she says, according to them, now I'd rather hear from her personally, but she says, according to them, my older 6 are animals, getting more and more out of control because I have no time to properly discipline them, and she says she hates the babies, they disgust her. And she claimed her dream of having a big family has turned into a nightmare. She said she was so poor that she even contemplated suicide. And she said, the only way that I can cope is to lock myself in the bathroom and cry. Sometimes I sit there for hours and even eat my lunch sitting on the toilet floor, anything to get peace and quiet. And she said that she cannot cope. And like we said, she said her bank account is overdrawn. She has no money to pay for the children's school, food, or the mortgage. And the only way she can lock herself, you know, or the only way she can cope is, you know, locking herself in the bathroom. And she says, obviously, I love them, but I absolutely wish I had not had them. And I don't know. It sounds like a cry for help if that is true. Now, she has received some extra money as of late for a number of TV appearances on TV reality programs. And she just filmed an episode of Celebridate, which is a dating show for the cable network HDNet. And she said that it was a new experience because she had never dated before, having been celibate for 12 years. Now, recently, on a side note, the fertility doctor who helped her has had his license revoked. And this doctor, they said, according to state medical watchdogs, quote, committed gross negligence by making an excessive number of embryo transfers, specifically into Nadia Suleman. And TMZ is now reporting that, like we said, you know, she made $28,000 this month, so hopefully that will help. And she also did a celebrity boxing match, bikini photo shoots, and several paid interviews across the globe. And she has more paid gigs in the pipeline, including another celebrity boxing match, several more interviews, and a possible instructional workout video. So it's, you know, hopefully, I guess, you know, she can keep this up, but I'm a little bit more disturbed about the whole kid thing. So I don't know. We'll keep eye on that as well. And I guess a follow-up on another story, I wanted to talk about, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the story about actor Doug Hutchinson, who's 51, who married 16-year-old Courtney Stodden. And if you take a look at this young lady, I swear to you, she looks like she's over 30 years old. And she looks pretty mature, because if there were 16-year-olds like that when I was in school, I obviously would not have concentrated on school. And so E! News just obtained her birth certificate, and it does say that she is 16. The document states that she was born August 29, 1994, which, when you do the math, makes her just 2 months shy of her 17th birthday. I don't know if that helps at all, because it's still kind of disturbing about that she's 16, he's 51, but I guess at this point, what are you going to do? And also on a couple other stories that hit the cutting room floor, not radar, but media takeout, showing some pics today of Whitney Houston's 17-year-old daughter, Bobby Christina, who's photoed, sadly, once again, out getting drunk with two guys, and then she takes off her shirt. And, you know, I know at 17 we all did quite a few things, but you know the history of her mom and dad. You only know where the history of this could possibly go. So you hope that it's one of those things where it's just young and dumb at that point. And also they came out with some photos, too, of Amber Rose, which she has admitted to being true. So I'm not sure if you've seen the Amber Rose photos, but she is nude, and she is doing a couple of things, which I will not mention here on the program. Very interesting in itself. And then finally, forget the actual plot. Immediately following Anne Hathaway's casting as Selina Kyle / Catwoman in Dark Knight, the new Batman movie, according to various sources, you know, speculation began brewing over what her costume would look like. Well, according to Hollywood Life, they say that they have the inside word that her costume won't be quite as suggestive as Catwoman of yore. And they're saying that, quote, her outfit is more tactical, like the comic book, than the previous Batman movies. She will definitely be wearing the goggles, and it's going to be less sexy than Halle Berry and Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman costumes. She's going to look more like a robber, but they're saying that you fans out there shouldn't be worried. This costume is going to be form-fitting enough to make her look smoking hot. And she's spoken a number of times of her workout routine, most recently telling Harper Bazaar in their new cover story that she thought that skinny was the goal, but with this job, she has to be strong. And the routine, she says, is 5 days a week, which includes stunt training and dance. So there's also word that there is a video out now online that's showing some clips from perhaps the movie. So I'm not sure if you've got to keep an eye on that and actually be on the lookout for that. But with that, that will lead us to the clock on the wall telling us that it is our time to go for Eye on Hollywood this week. I thank you so much for listening. I know to hear me for a half hour alone, we hope that we have enough to kind of keep you enthralled here. But stay tuned to our Facebook page, Music Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio LeVar. And we will probably have some special programming this weekend if the time warrants, but we will let you definitely know when that happens. And, of course, we will be here on Monday, July 4th, with a special edition of The Cutting Room Floor. So until next we meet, I am LeVar. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you later. Have a great weekend, everybody.